is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We can't outgive Him. We cannot outlove Him. There are times where we're called to love somebody and they're not being lovable. We think, okay, surely You understand now, Lord, why I am going to treat them this way or get mad at them. He says, no, I've enabled you with love. I've enabled you to love them because right now they need to see genuine love. And genuine love isn't like, you love me, I love you. It's, you're not deserving of love, but now let me show you what love is.
What is love? Jesus demonstrated what true love is. While you were still in your sins and not looking for a relationship with God, Jesus died for you. In today's message, Pastor Troy acknowledges that Christ is King. He is most kind, most compassionate, and most loving towards His people. Because you are His child, God wants you to emulate Jesus. This means that you must demonstrate love even when it's hard. True agape, God-sized love is demonstrating love and kindness even when that love and kindness is not reciprocated. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 3 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Walk with a sense of, man, what a blessing it is for me to be able to serve in the house of God or in the family of God. And I want to represent that well. That's a way to walk worthy. You won't be perfect. You will fail. You'll stumble. But that's the best that we can do, is to acknowledge, man, I don't deserve this, but I'm going to be faithful in it. And if I fall, I'm going to get back up. Because those who are His can. Verse 3. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which should be spoken afterward, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So Jesus is greater not only in person, but Jesus is greater in position. Jesus is greater in position than Moses. Now this, as I mentioned earlier, would ruffle some Jewish feathers. All right, you're saying Jesus is greater in position than our Moses? See, to the Jew, Moses was the greatest man to ever live. Moses was awesome. The law, the very foundation of all that they say and believe and build upon, came from Moses. No man is greater than Moses. If any man claimed to be greater than Moses, he's building a new law, and that man should be stoned. So no one was greater than Moses in their eyes. We have a phrase, what would Jesus do, right? Little bracelets and everything else. WWJD. Well, they could have made bracelets too that went WWMD. What would Moses do? Because after the Babylonian captivity and they were freed and they went back to Jerusalem, they started building up the place. And they came across circumstances they hadn't been familiar with. They didn't have Moses or someone like that to lead them. They're new. They've been in another place for so long and they're thinking, what would Moses do? What should we do in this situation? When this group comes to us, that's, they're like half Jews. We don't even know what to make of them. What do we do? And where God hadn't spoken to them or where they didn't have clarification according to the scriptures, they began to ask the question, WWMD, what would Moses do? And they would get together and they would discuss it in depth and they would write it down in a commentary on what they believed Moses said, what he meant by it, in how it would apply to certain circumstances, what Moses would have done in certain situations. And they used it to elaborate, like a commentary, on the scriptures. And they still use it to this day. It's called the Talmud. Also, Moses spent time with God. So Moses is that great. They also know that Moses spent time with God. Like, he went and spent time with God, so intimate that he came back, he glowed. His face glowed. You cannot get closer to God than that. That's our Moses. He is great. If you were to talk to a devout Jew today, they would say, we do believe in a Messiah, one to come. We just don't believe in one like you Christians describe him, God, walking on the water, you know, all these kinds of things. That's not the Messiah we're looking for. They would say, we believe in a Messiah that's coming, one who'll be like Moses. Because in Deuteronomy, Moses said, the Lord will raise up a prophet like me in your midst. So they're looking for a man not better than Moses, not greater than Moses, how dare that person, but someone like Moses, who come in and lead his people, charge them, maybe another redemption from out under the affliction and the oppression of Rome. Did it with Egypt, now let's do it with Rome. So that's what they were looking for. Jesus did not fit that bill. So Moses was at the top of the list, but the author of Hebrews says, Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses. And it just didn't set well. The author also reveals some facts about Jesus that the Hebrew readers needed to understand. Moses was a great servant, it says, in the house. So faithful servant in the house. But Jesus was a great servant as the builder of the house, the owner of the house. It's a reference to the fact that Jesus is greater than Moses, deserving of more glory than Moses, because Jesus is no mere man like Moses. He's God. He is the creator. He is the builder. Moses was faithful as a servant in the house, but he was faithful as a Lord over the house. He was still a faithful servant. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, John wrote, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a big difference in doing something because you're a subordinate and you're told to, it's in the law, and doing something because you are motivated to do it by love. Big difference. The one motivated by love is always greater than the other. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We see his purpose. Jesus didn't come to condemn. Oh, it'll happen as a result of his coming. Because if you reject him, you're condemned. But he didn't come to condemn. He came to redeem, to save. So Jesus is greater in position than Moses, and greater in position than us, by the way, if we didn't realize that. What I mean is, it seems like there are times we think that if we do this act, we're going to be too kind or too good. I'm going to do more good than I should. Or if I serve the Lord, I don't want to give too much because I may be too good. Let me say, you'll never be too good. And you can never give of yourself or your time or your talent. You can never give more or too much to God. Never. It can never happen. It'll never make you better than him or a bigger giver. We can't outgive him. We cannot outlove him. There are times where we're called to love somebody and they're not being lovable. We think, okay, surely you understand now, Lord, why I am going to treat them this way or get mad at them. He says, no, I've enabled you with love. I've enabled you to love them because right now they need to see genuine love. And genuine love isn't like, you love me, I love you. It's, you're not deserving of love, but now let me show you what love is. You can't outlove him. You cannot outserve him. You cannot out-sacrifice him. It is impossible for us, no matter what we do, to position ourselves as greater than him in any way. So don't worry about doing too much for the Lord. Can't happen. Jesus is greater in position. Now, Jesus is greater in purpose. Jesus is also greater in his purpose. Verse 6 says that Jesus was faithful over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Paul's writing to a group of Hebrews who are experiencing persecution from Jews. The Jews have come in and said, you guys are leaving Judaism. You guys are leaving the religion established by God. And we're not going to support that. And it was causing the families to break up. It was causing rivalries in the homes and in the workplace. And these Christians were starting to really feel the pressure around them of these decisions they made to follow Christ, to believe in him. And the easier route to avoid all of the battles would have been to just back off. You know, stop following so zealously, compromise a little bit, and just live and let live. But Paul's saying, don't do that. Hold fast. Hold to the end. Don't go back. Because his point is this. Your faith, it's being tested. Your faith in him is being tested. Yeah, things may be falling apart and this relationship isn't working the same as it used to, or these others are pressuring you. What are you going to do? Do you really believe in him? It's easy when everybody says, oh, kumbaya, oh, the Lord is good, brother. And do you love the Lord? I sure do love the Lord. But when everyone's opposing you and the hard times are hitting you, do you really believe? That's what Paul's point is here to these Hebrews. Look, hold fast to the end. You're part of the family if you hold fast to the end. If your faith is genuine, is it? Don't go back. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. When we come to Christ, our relationships with others change. Everything changes, in fact. Here's what you'll find. If you want to grow in the Lord, change is always going to be happening. Because those who don't want to grow, man, you guys were even. You guys were equal. And we're growing in the Lord. Oh, isn't this awesome? Like two freshmen in school. But there are times where you're like a junior and senior and they're still skipping school and they're a freshman still. Well, in the church, the same things happen. As you seek to grow, people go by the wayside. They don't want to go with you. They don't want to grow. They like, I'm comfortable here. This is what I like. This is my brand of Christianity right here. I'm good. But God's calling you upward and onward.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com.
There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
That upward call in Christ Jesus towards Christ's likeness. To remove yourself from the things of the world so you're not confused by it, because those things confuse us. When we're entangled or we're watching certain things, we get confused about the news and, man, what's right? What's wrong? Is that good? He is nice, but, and we get confused by the world. It's when we back away and we let the word of God renew our minds that things become so clear and really simple. It's not really all that complicated. We make it very complicated and the world makes it, oh, blindly complicated, confusing. So things begin to change. And Jesus, his greater purpose is to bring together a family that is growing in Christ's likeness, growing in him. So old routines and hobbies begin to change. Not doing the same things you used to, at least not the same way that you used to or in the same places. Friends, man, they begin to change. Family dynamics begin to change. You know, when parents give their life to the Lord and they have teens in the home that are used to one set of rules and all these liberties, it's not always the easiest transition when you start to bring Christ in the home. It can be very difficult. So things begin to change. It can cause some tensions and even resistance. But listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. So Paul's saying, do not go back, you Hebrew believers. Don't go back for the sake of comfort. Don't go back because of the pressures. Be all in. Die to yourself now. Count that as loss. Because we don't live for this world. We live for one that's to come. And if we hang in there, if we follow, we have a brother in Christ. We have family in him. And we have a body that'll support us. So, Jesus is greater than Moses. He's greater in person than Moses, because Moses was as faithful as a man can be, but he couldn't take them into the promised land, whereas Jesus brings us into not only a promised land, but into heaven. Then Jesus is greater in position than Moses. Moses was a servant in the house, but Jesus was the builder of the house. Jesus is greater in purpose than Moses. Moses' purpose was great. He gave the law, but that only showed us we fail. But Jesus' purpose was greater. He fulfilled the law and gave us the Holy Spirit, enabling us to not follow a set of rules, but to follow the character of Christ. To be led by him, not just by outward actions, but by our internal attitude toward others. Jesus' purpose was certainly greater. You know, the founding fathers of this country had been greatly influenced by the word of God, which had been written on their hearts. Let me read something that that I found. French writer Alexis de Tocqueville said this after visiting America in 1831. He said, "I sought for the greatness of the United States and her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness, purity before God, did I understand the secret of her genius and power." America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. It breaks your heart when you think this same man, if he went into churches today, what a bummer. Purity, righteousness, holding fast to the King of Kings, God Almighty, being salt and light in this world. It's not all that important today in our culture. And it's not really all that preached from what I understand. In verse 1, Jesus is called the apostle and high priest of our confession. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Jesus died on the cross that we might be able to be saved, to redeem us. It's as if he opened the door and said, "You can come through it, but we have to come through it." Similar to when Peter was unchained in prison and the angel said to him, "Now get up and let's go." He didn't carry Peter out. We are called by Christ, called to follow him. The question now is, will we? Will we follow him? Will we follow him so that our homes are the way he thinks our homes ought to be? Will we follow him so that our attitudes and our speech is the way he says they ought to be? Will we follow him so that in the area of finances, it is run, managed, prioritized according to what he says it ought to be? See, this is what makes him Lord, Lord of all. We then become what we take off those crowns we talked about in the beginning, and we cast them, and we become stewards. We understand our position now. We're just but stewards of what he has given us, of this life that he's given us, spending it the way he sees fit. Are we willing to do that? It may not make the difference in salvation for you, but it will make the difference in your growth, in your ability to grow and have the perspective of the Lord in all of these areas. So, if you want to grow and you want to be great in the sense that we talked about the greatness of America, then fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Don't look at Moses, don't look at rules, don't look at laws, don't look at pastors, don't look at anything else. Look to Christ and let him be the standard that you begin to follow.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in